Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Tuesday, January 1st, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page XXV, The Doctor's Opinion. First paragraph, We of Alcoholics Anonymous, through Dr. Silkworth's first letter, concluding with, Very truly yours, William D. Silkworth, M.D., and the comments will be on all that we read. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Marissa E., the 12 Traditions, Nancy S., and readers of the text are Wendy B., Robin P., and Leslie M. And the share ID for Monday, December 31st, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 12,362. That's 12362, and for this morning's Tuesday meeting, January 1st, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,365. That's 12365. And our newcomer greeter today will be Gina R., our OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Marissa E. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Marissa.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, my fellows. This is Marissa E. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater outside Los Angeles. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening, as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service.
Well, thank you, Marissa E., and I will now ask Nancy S. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning,
thank
Nancy.
You. This is Nancy S. from Wisconsin, recovering compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, Thus, problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Well, thank you, Nancy S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page XXV, The Doctor's Opinion. Starting with the first paragraph, We of Alcoholics Anonymous, and reading through Dr. Silkworth's first letter, concluding with Very Truly Yours, William D. Silkworth, M.D., and the comments will be on all that we read. And I will now ask Wendy B. to get us started. Wendy.
Hi, this is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. The Doctor's Opinion. We of Alcoholics Anonymous believe that the reader will be interested in the medical estimate of the plan of recovery described in this book. Convincing testimony must surely come from medical men who have had experience with the sufferings of our members and have witnessed our return to health. A well-known doctor, chief physician at a nationally prominent hospital specializing in alcohol and drug addiction, gave Alcoholics Anonymous this letter, to whom it may concern. I have specialized in the treatment of alcoholism for many years. In late 1934, I attended a patient who, though he had been a competent businessman of good earning capacity, was an alcoholic of a type I had come to regard as hopeless. In the course of his third treatment, he acquired certain ideas concerning a possible means of recovery. As part of his rehabilitation, he commenced to present his conceptions to other alcoholics, impressing upon them that they must do likewise with still others. This had become the basis of a rapidly growing fellowship of these men and their families. This man and over 100 others appear to have recovered. I personally know scores of cases who were of the type with whom other methods had failed completely. These facts appear to be of extreme medical importance because of the extraordinary possibilities of rapid growth inherent in this group. They may mark a new epoch in the annals of alcoholism. These men may well have remedy for thousands of such situations. You may rely absolutely on anything they say about themselves. Very truly yours, William D. Silkworth, M.D. And I was told that this is the beginning of step one, you know, dealing with the physical craving, the physical allergy. And step one is we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. And so we have an expert doctor, you know, someone with medical training dealing with our physical bodies, giving us his opinion from his experience dealing with those suffering of alcoholism. And he witnessed their return to health. You know, it was a miracle. And he regarded them as hopeless. And he witnessed this transformation. And they acquired certain ideas concerning a possible means of recovery. And I think that was the tenets of the Oxford group. And he stated, this has become the basis of a rapidly growing fellowship. And he said they were hopeless because every other method had failed completely. And I know every other diet or exercise regime or health plan, you know, didn't work for me because I always went back to my binge substance. You know, I hadn't learned about the allergy of the body yet. And then as soon as I take one bite, my body wants more and more and more. And I just couldn't stay stopped until I found this big book and these 12-step program of recovery. And I just am so grateful. And I heard on the earlier meeting that there's three promises on this first page. The we at the very beginning is a promise that we're never going to be alone again. You know, it's a we program. And then in the middle of that paragraph, it says that witnessed our return to health. And that's a promise. You know, if we work this program, we get to be returned to health. And then down in the letter, it says the man and over 100 others appear to have recovered, you know, and that's a promise. We get to be recovered. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Wendy B., for getting us started on this New Year's Day. Let me remind everybody where we are on page XXV, the doctor's opinion, starting with the first paragraph, we of Alcoholics Anonymous, through the doctor's letter, Dr. Silkworth's letter, concluding with, very truly yours, William D. Silkworth, MD. Comments will be on all. And I'll now take names of those who'd like to share.
Gina R.
Nicole C. in California.
Up. Let's start over. I have Gina R.
Freya H.
Freya H.
Nicole C. in California.
Nicole C.
Ida A.
Is that Marissa? I have Ida.
Marin.
I got you, Marin.
Thank you, dear.
Robin P. Thank you.
I got you. Okay, let's stop there. I think it was Gina R., Freya H., Nicole C., Marin K., Ida. I didn't get your last initial. Robin P. All right, we'll start with, I think it's Gina. Was it you, Gina?
Yes, it was, Mo. Thank you so much. This is Gina R., gratefully recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, and I live in Green Valley, Arizona. What jumps out to me is the very first word and this sentence, or first few words, we of Alcoholics Anonymous. At the time when I was going through this with my guide, really pouring into this, she had asked me to really pay attention to things that were different or the same. And part of the reason for that I know now is I always used to look for things that were different about people. I had a spirit of comparison on me, and I did not know how to identify in. And so when I looked at that we with that fancy W, I thought, I think I've seen this before. And sure enough, I had. I had seen it on page XIII, the foreword to the first edition. And I didn't know until I finished. I think somebody's unmuted. I'm hearing some dishes in the background.
Please mute your phones if you are not speaking. Thank you.
So it's there, and then it's on that forward to the first edition. And as soon as I realized that, I had actually a spiritual experience with that letter W and the word we. And what was shown to me was that I was opening myself up to this process. Before, I was a me. It was a capital letter M. And because this process was happening for me, I became inverted. And the M became a W. And this may sound silly, but it was a huge experience for me, and it still is very powerful and resonates mightily. When I am a me, an M, I am closed off. The top of the letters is closed off. When I flip myself over and become a we, I'm opened up. And when I put my arms in the air and I just accept what's going on, I'm a W. I'm a we. I'm open to everything that God has for me. And so just as Wendy said, that is a promise. And so if you are someone on the line and here you are on January 1st, 2019, wondering how in the heck are you going to do it this time? You alone can do it, but you cannot do it alone. We are here to help you. Please make sure you stay on the line to the end of this meeting. The recording stops, and there's like another 10 minutes where we greet newcomers, and you'll hear sponsors announce themselves, and you'll hear some announcements about things that are coming up, and that's how we stay connected. I'm so excited that this chapter is starting on this day, and I'm here with you all to do it. Thank you so much for allowing me to share, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Gina R. Freya, is it H, followed by Nicole
yes,
C?
Yes, it is.
Oh, I got it.
Thanks.
Okay, Freya. Welcome.
Thank you so much. My name is Freya H., compulsive eater and bulimic in Colorado. Very grateful to be in this meeting. Thanks for the opportunity to share. The line that really struck me was that it's a new epic in the annals of alcoholism. And, you know, as we know, not just alcoholism, but all of these different addictive patterns. And it's so important for me. It's meaningful on a personal level to really acknowledge that I just grew up taking this for granted. You know, it was just part of my awareness that is, you know, that 12-step programs existed, and I had some kind of understanding that that's where you go when nothing else is working. You know, that this is a problem that you can't solve on your own, however it manifests. And I was also struck by when I meet newcomers, I often will, you know, just ask them, like, how did you hear about OA? Like, how did you hear about us? And it's always fascinating for me to hear about it because I just feel like I always knew it was there. And sometimes people say, you know, like, I had no idea this existed. And, you know, that they had known about AA, but they wish that there was something similar for them because they didn't identify with the alcohol problem. So just to take a moment to really acknowledge what a gift that is, and you know, hear people say, you know, was it odd or was it God? And I guess that to acknowledge in my life, that's what my higher power provided me so that I could come in when I was ready. And the other thing, the word that struck that hit me was that you said alcoholics and their families. And you know, we hear that alcoholism is a family disease, and do I really acknowledge that this compulsive eating disease does affect my family members in the same way that alcoholism does, maybe in different ways, but just to really know that it's not, I think it's really easy to sit back and think, oh, this isn't hurting anybody except for me, nobody knows, just to have that acknowledgement that if I'm in addiction, I'm not there for other people. I just can't be there for other people, and I'm not being probably not where my higher power would have me be in terms of being, you know, a life of sane and happy usefulness. So just grateful I get to have access to this amazing, so many amazing recovery resources. So, and that, with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Freya H. Nicole C., followed by Maureen K. Nicole?
Hello, this is Nicole C. in California. I am a compulsive eater. Thank you for letting me share. I really loved the part on the first page that we read where it says, as part of his rehabilitation, he commenced to present his conceptions to other alcoholics. And in my mind, I changed that to compulsive eaters, impressing upon them that they must do likewise with still others. This has become the basis of a rapidly growing fellowship of these men and their families. This man and over 100 others appear to have recovered. And I love that so much because I was missing a big part of this program until I found a vision for you. And, you know, the other day, a few days back, we had someone join the line who was very new. And I was so touched. Because in some other ways that I've done this program, I haven't had the opportunity to hear from new people. And so I was missing a big part of the recovery process. I was not hearing what it was still like out there. And so I wasn't being reminded that people that don't go to meetings don't hear about what happens to people that don't go to meetings. And it just touched my heart to hear the still suffering compulsive overeater on the line. And it just, I need that process of identification. I need to carry this message to somebody else or I'm going to die. I'm going to die a really long, slow, painful death of self-hatred and harming myself with food. Because that's what I do, left untreated. And, you know, today I don't have to live like that. I don't have to live like that. You know, there have been so many New Year's days where I have said, today is going to be the day that I do something different. And I don't have to live like that today. I don't. I got on my scale this morning because it's the first, and it's the number that I expected, and everything's great, and I'm moving on with the rest of my day. And it's not a big deal. And I am so grateful that this meeting is still here, even though it's New Year's Day, because I can tell you that the compulsion to eat is going to still be here with me regardless of what day it is, whether it's New Year's Day or in the middle of the year. It doesn't change based on what day of the year it is. So I'm especially grateful that A Vision for You is still here on New Year's Eve and that people didn't take a vacation from this meeting, because I cannot do this alone, and I really need all of you to not do this one day at a time. And I love that today I am not obsessed with the next bite. I am not thinking about the next bite. I'm thinking about being right here, right now with all of you. I pass.
Well, thank you, Nicole C. Marin K., followed by Ida. Marin.
Hi, thank you, Mo. Marin K. from Los Angeles. Thank you, everybody who shared, and welcome anyone who's new on the line. The doctor's opinion is my favorite. It's become my favorite. I never really paid much attention to it. I've been in the program 24 years, and I learn every day something new. And believe me, I have layers of the onion that still need to be worked out. I love how it says in the doctor's opinion, it talks about the we. It's the we and the. You know, we can't do this program alone. We need to recover together. We need to share together. We need to talk to each other about our problems and work with each other on our solutions. It's a plan of recovery in the book. This is a plan of recovery that the book has, along with the steps. When I came into Overeaters Anonymous, I'll tell you, I hit my bottom at around this time, and around January 4th is when I got abstinent. I was alone. I was bulimic. I was anorexic. I was like 75 pounds. I had stopped another issue, but I was dying, and I knew what to do because of the program. And it's just that all methods failed for me. I went to the best hospitals. I did all the best things that you can imagine. But until I got the big book and the 12 steps, I did not recover from a hopeless situation, because I was told that I was a hopeless person. I felt hopeless. So for anyone out there who thinks this is not a miracle to get better, I'm a miracle. I'm a walking miracle. I'm the right weight. I haven't put my fingers down my throat in 24 years. I haven't starved myself to the point of being in a dangerous zone. And, you know, this is a program that works if you work it. And if you work with others and you try, you don't have to do it perfectly, you can get better. And that's my message. Go out and think you can do it alone and your life will stink. Stay with the program and your life will get better. Thanks for letting me share.
Hi, Marin K. Ida, I don't have your last initial, followed by Robin P.
Oh, good morning, Mo. My last initial is A for Apple, Ida A.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning, everybody, and thanks for letting me share on day one of 2019. Ida, compulsive overeater till the day I die, presently squatting in northern British Columbia, getting over a foot of snow, but massive gratitude for all of you that have suited up and shown up this January 1st to provide a meeting for me. and so many others. And massive gratitude for Dr. Silkworth. When I first was introduced to the doctor's opinion, I didn't understand it. A friend suggested I go into the rooms of AA, and I will admit I was a heavy drinker. I did not get the doctor's opinion. I did not understand the allergy, and I completely missed the mental twist. When I started going through the doctor's opinion with food-based issues, I was shocked. I was shocked, and I completely related to everything here. And putting down the food, my emotions were out of control. And here, I read today that there's a plan of recovery for hopeless me. And I am of the hopeless variety. And I understand today that the plan of recovery starts with we, not me. I have been out of good ideas for a long time, and I forget. But with starting with the we and recognizing and admitting I have the allergy and the mental twist, I no longer have to be hopeless. And the we allows me to grow, and it is shockingly amazing growth. So the mental twist, the disease between my ears, is a struggle. And I have a hard time admitting it, saying it out loud. I have a ways to go in that area. But massive blessings to all of you, because you show up every day and you're kind and you're considerate. And you have a teacher's hat at times. And sometimes the hat is all about the boundaries. But you have been mentors and guides, and this program is amazing. And so those promises, absolutely here, recovered, wow, the return to health, wow, I belong, I'm a we, who knew? That's amazing. So, yeah, today I have a disease, and tomorrow I'll have the disease, but I'll try my best to stay in the day with gratitude. And what will I look for today? The silver lining, the good in all people, the belief in all growth, optimism, patience, kindness, because you have opened the door to possibilities. And on January 1st, I have a plan of recovery. If I get out of the way, wow, is it an amazing plan. Thank you all for being here. Have a blessed day. Love to you all. I pass.
Well, thank you, Ida A. And before I go to Robin P., let me remind everybody where we're at, because I'll be taking names after Robin. We're on page XXV, the doctor's opinion, first paragraph, We of Alcoholics Anonymous, through Dr. Silkworth's first letter, concluding with, very truly yours, William D. Silkworth, and we're commenting on all. So now, Robin P., you're up.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Mo. Happy New Year, everybody. God bless everybody in your recovery. I'm Robin P. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and we are currently in Hawaii, California. We're driving across the U.S. to our new home in Florida. So I wanted to just say that I'm so grateful that Dr. Silkworth gave his credibility and that they included this, because sometimes, you know, as an inventor, I know that I've partnered with some medical facilities on things to give credibility. It's so important to include this because it validates that it's a physical allergy combined with a mental obsession, especially the physical allergy part. You know, and this, you know, AA was a startup at the beginning. You know, this was a brand new, you know, it's such a miracle that there are these phone meetings now and everything. It's, you've grown so much, you know, that I don't have to say goodbye to my fellowship, and I'm moving across the country. And I just have to pick up the phone and be connected to all of you. That's such a blessing. But in those days, people had to drive hours to go to meetings, and it was a startup, you know, and here's a new idea, how to stop being an alcoholic, or here's a new cure, here's a new solution. And, you know, I'm sure there were a lot of skeptics. And so the way there is with any new idea and new movement. And so it was such a blessing to get Dr. Silkworth that he gave this letter to say, look, this isn't just some you know, solution that's out of there. This is based on reality, that this is, here is a solution for this seemingly hopeless disease. And I also love we, you know, and another way that I look at we is I've heard that illness starts with the letter I, and wellness, wellness starts with the letter W-E. So thank you so much for letting me share. God bless everybody in your recovery and Happy New Year.
Thank you, Robin P., and I will now open the lines up for those who'd like to share.
Jody EQ.
Got you,
Rowena
Jody.
K.
Rowena
Kathleen
K.
O.
WM.
Kathleen.
Patty
oh, wait a minute. Wait. Kathleen O. Debbie M. And then who was after Debbie?
Patty T.
Patty T. Okay.
Reggie O.
Cindy E.
Sherry KB.
Oh, I may have not have enough. Who was before Sherry KB?
Cindy D.
Cindy D. Okay, we'll stop there. I don't know if I have time. Well, we'll try. Sherry KB. Okay, so we have Jody EQ. My notes are terrible. It's Rowena, Kathleen O, Debbie M, Patty T, Reggie O, Cindy M, I think it is, and Sherry KB. Okay, Jody EQ, you're on.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody, and Happy New Year. This is Jody EQ, gratefully recovered in California. So this first letter of Dr. Silkworth is short and to the point. He doesn't talk about the allergy of the body or the obsession of the mind yet in this first letter. His main point is that a alcoholic who he had come to regard as hopeless had acquired certain ideas concerning a possible means of recovery, and as part of his rehabilitation, he commenced to present these conceptions to other alcoholics. So he doesn't say anything about what the ideas are, but his main point is that one alcoholic begins to help another alcoholic, which is the basis of a rapidly growing fellowship. And because of the extraordinary possibilities of rapid growth inherent in the group because of this passing of the ideas on from one alcoholic to the next, it's of extreme medical importance. There are over 100 who appear to have recovered. Wow. This from a doctor, a highly regarded doctor, who has so much experience with alcoholics and has rarely seen anyone recover. And so this letter is lending credence to what is to follow. He trusts these alcoholics, which is an amazing thing as well, to rely absolutely on anything they say about themselves. Alcoholics. Amazing. So it stresses the importance of passing on the message one to the next. It doesn't go into the ideas. It doesn't go into the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind. That is the main thing, that we pass it on. And I'm just grateful that this meeting is here and that I can do my small part to carry the message on this line as well as connecting with other compulsive overeaters. Thank you so much for being there for me. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jody EQ. Rowena, I didn't get your last initial. Rowena, you're next.
Hi, it's Rowena Kay from the United Kingdom. Thank you so much for letting me share. The part that stands out for me is, you know, as part of his rehabilitation, he commenced to present his conceptions to other alcoholics. And that's what my sponsor is doing with me. And I've been abstinent for 5 days, I think, from the 27th of December. But I needed to... have that last binge to fully grasp that I am powerless over my desire to binge. Or I don't even know if it's a desire, but my need, my want, whatever. And that lifted when my sponsor started sharing with me how she got her recovery. And it is a miracle. And I'm so glad that I didn't wait one more day, because it's really hard to imagine when you're in the depths of despair how something as simple as speaking to somebody who's got recovery in this program can actually completely change your mindset and change my mindset. And I couldn't have imagined that, you know, when I was ready to throw up but not wanting to stop, I couldn't imagine that I could feel any differently. And it can be so quick. I mean, I don't know that the entire psychic change, you know, the spiritual recovery is that quick, but the change from not wanting to binge, you know, that is quick. It can be quick. And it doesn't stay with you all the time, with me all the time, but in the beginning, you know, it's there. And for me, it was anyway. And I just want to share gratitude as well, because I have a really bad case of flu today, and I feel so hungover and wiped out and disgusting. But I'm so grateful that it's not a food hangover and that it's not an alcohol hangover, because it's New Year's Day and it could so easily have been. And I know for so many other people that is the case. And I just wish that they had what we have on this line and in this fellowship. And with that, I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Rowena Kay, and congratulations on your 5 days. Kathleen O, followed by Debbie M. Kathleen.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service this morning. So, oh, thank goodness for William Silkworth. You know, he was an 1899 graduate of Bellevue Hospital Medical College. And when he was in college, he interned in a clinic for alcoholics. This is what I have studied about him. And then he chose to continue working with alcoholics as his professional specialty. And, you know, thank goodness, because I don't know if we'd all be here on the line if he hadn't. And, you know, he supposedly treated tens of thousands of alcoholics. That's a lot of alcoholics and drug addicts. And in studying them, he concluded that there's no cure and there's no treatment and it's hopeless. But it was also an illness and not a moral, which is what most doctors thought, which is why it wasn't really studied. So I have to say that I am blessed with knowing that I am of that hopeless variety. I have a friend who's in OA who lost 50 pounds, has kept it off. She goes to meetings, but she can have a glass of wine once in a while, have a piece of candy, eat a cookie. And I've watched her do this. And what I've learned by being on vision, because being around people like that can be dangerous, because, you know, the thought is, oh, well, she can do that, I can do that. But being on this line, I have learned that there's a percentage of us that are of the hopeless variety. I am never going to be able to eat one piece of anything. Just never going to happen. And it's a blessing to know that. It's really important that, you know, I know that deep down with inside me, and I have this, you know, I had to have this spiritual awakening by working these steps in order to put this into remission, which is what happened with alcoholics, which is what happened with Bill W. He had that spiritual experience, and William Silkworth said, I don't know what, but hold on to it. Don't let it go. And thank you. Happy New Year, everyone, and I passed.
Thank you, Kathleen O. Debbie M., followed by Patty T. Debbie.
Hi. Thank you very much for your service today, and Happy New Year to everyone. I was so impressed to share this morning. I just was listening to the shares and the some of them in the earlier morning meeting, and I just was reflecting on this New Year's Day about what an incredible year of recovery it's been for me, and how important this letter and this book has been to me and Dr. Silkworth, and how grateful I am for his contribution. And here, you know, I was thinking about how amazing this is that, excuse me, I have a really bad sore throat, but, you know, here it's telling us that he is a well-known doctor, you know, and that it's not just any hospital, it's a nationally prominent hospital specializing in alcohol and drug addiction. And so you think about, he's reflecting here on all of the alcoholics he has treated, and if you imagine the people that have come in and out of there, and this category he describes as hopeless. And I was thinking about how my entire life I had felt hopeless. I'm going to be 58 next month. And I don't remember a time when I wasn't trying to lose weight, when I didn't feel hopeless, even from the time when I was a child and some really rude adults would call me chubby or fat girl, you know. And what a miracle it is. It says, I personally know scores of cases who are of the type with whom other methods had failed completely. And that was me my entire life from the time I was a young child. Either I was being told what to eat or what not to eat, and then starting my own personal diet when I was 12 years old. And I just can't even describe to people how this is not a diet. This is a miracle is what it is. And I'm reminded of the line that I love so much. I believe it's in We Agnostics that says, what is this but a miracle of healing? And how I have released a total 110 pounds in this program, and that it's never felt like a diet. That's a miracle to me. I could never follow a diet, and I can't tell you how many of them and how many methods I did try. And I'm just thankful that, you know, for this contribution, and that this program is about someone who shared, you know, this program with me, that this simple idea, you know, that he was talking about acquired certain ideas concerning a possible means of recovery, and that's what we still use today, is to carry that message to the still suffering compulsive overeater. And that's what I try to do, or do, and just as someone shared it with me. And that's the beauty of it, that we can recover. I'd never heard that word before. I'm so grateful for my recovery and for all of you. Welcome to any newcomers on the line. This program works, and with that, I pass.
Well, thank you, Debbie M. Patty T., followed by Reggie O. Patty?
Hi, everybody. This is Patty T. from Southern California. Happy New Year. Mo, thank you so much for your service this morning. I just love all the directions I'm getting from all the shares today. What a great way to start the year, honestly. You know what really stuck out to me is when Dr. Silkworth writes, in the course of his third treatment, and for somebody who's been through chronic relapse, that is so encouraging, that, you know, to understand that Bill W. found this after his third treatment, or during his third treatment of alcoholism. He acquired certain ideas concerning a possible means of recovery. And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but for me, struggling during that period was so hopeless, and I thought I was that person of the hopeless variety, that I would never be able to embrace recovery again. And somehow, you know, through listening to you guys teach me how to use this book as an instruction manual as opposed to reading a novel, I have learn to embrace that. It also says here that, you know, as part of his rehabilitation, he commenced to present his conceptions to other alcoholics, impressing upon them that they must do likewise with still others. And you know, I keep going back to, you know, when Bill said to his wife, they're not staying sober, and she reminded him that, but you are, you know, that the way I can stay sober with food is to work with another compulsive eater. You know, it's just so important. And as I develop compassion for other compulsive eaters, I also develop compassion for myself and understanding. And that brings me closer to my higher power, which is what all of this is about. So thank you all very, very much. I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Patty T. And we have three people left and about 6 minutes, so if you could each take two, we can get all three of you in there. Reggie O., followed by Cindy M.
Hey, good morning, Mo. Thanks so much for your service this morning, and Happy New Year, everybody. I just, I wasn't going to share, and then this weed just started standing out for me, and I knew that I wanted to start this New Year's Day actively engaged in the we of A Vision for You, because it is totally miraculous, you know, that transformation from I to we, or me to we, and that is how the doctor's opinion starts, and, you know, and the instructions, and that is how we start here, is with the we. And I'm reminded back to, you know, when one compulsive eater talks to another compulsive eater, and so many years ago when I woke up and realized I was an alcoholic with food but didn't have an idea beyond that, I was so naive and unknown and just kind of in this state of I don't know what it was really, but within 2 weeks I ran into two people at different times who basically said one or two sentences about where they were and what had happened to them through OA. And I said, where did you get that? You know, and I went to my first meeting and heard my first qualifier. And I'm just so grateful for that, you know. And and Bill Wilson, you know, the person that was doing this writing essentially, but that also was the man talked about and to whom it may concern, in that the doctor had told him on his first treatment, I believe it was, inpatient, that that he was seriously, you know, he was seriously debilitated by will. Where alcohol is concerned, the will just does not work. And Bill thought self-knowledge was the answer, which I certainly have much of my life, and found out through Ebbie Thatcher sometime later, you know, that one conversation at a kitchen table, which started this so many years ago, and here we are, and with the we starting, you know, the work and the instruction. And I can't do it alone, and but we can all do it together. And I'm very grateful to be a part of this week. Thank you for the space to share.
Thank you, Reggie, for keeping it simple. And Cindy M, followed by Sherry KB. I think we're going to do it.
Hey, Mo, this is Cindy D in Texas.
Oh,
no, D like in dog.
Oh, D. Okay.
Yes. I'm recovered in Texas. I just wanted to comment that I am one of those hopeless variety. You know, all other methods had failed completely, and it took me multiple times to really understand that I couldn't do it myself. You know, I went to OA about 30 years ago and started working the steps and lost some weight, but I don't think that I ever read the doctor's opinion, and I didn't stick around, and I went back out and ended up having surgery several times, and then with complications from surgery, had to have two other surgeries, and spent 5 weeks in the hospital on intravenous feeding and almost lost my life. And I thought, you know, well, gosh, I'm going to certainly be able to do this now, but a few days later I was already worried about the food. And I'm so grateful that, you know, I too found this, you know, simple program of principles for recovery, and that I go through every day now doing whatever I have to maintain my recovery. And no matter what, it's the most important thing, my connection with my higher power, so that I can remain in this recovered state, because I just have it for today. And so I'm really grateful that you're all here and that you get me and that we're in this together. Like all so many others have said, that this is really a we program and that I have the opportunity to share it with others. And so just Happy New Year, everybody. And I'm so grateful. Thanks, Mo. I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Cindy D. And Sherry KB, we fit you in. Got you 2 minutes here.
Thanks, Meg. Good morning, everybody. Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful to Recovered Compulsive Reader. Thank you so much for your service, Mo, and everybody on the line, and Happy New Year to all of us. Thank you. What a great beginning. I love it being on the line this morning with all of you. Just going to jump right in here. The plan of recovery described in this book. So what it's telling me is that the doctor's telling me that I can recover if I follow the directions in this book, like the first 100 did, and that I can relate to the alcoholic and the drug addiction is what it's telling me. I have suffered. I don't know about you, but I have suffered with this disease. And it's also telling me that he is familiar with the hopeless type, which I have been. I don't know about you, but I certainly have. And that it's telling me that I must work with others in order to stay recovered. It's telling me I must. So pay attention to all those musts in there. And then it says that over 100 appear to have recovered. And so it's telling me that if I do this work, I can recover. I've had so many different things that happened to me where my methods had failed completely. I appreciated the fact that I learned that I have a disease, that it's not a moral issue, that I'm not a bad person. Nothing's, you know, morally wrong with me. I have a disease. I have a twofold illness, and this is where I learned about it. And it opened up a whole new avenue for me. And this book is the ticket in the door, folks. And it's a great ride. And I wish everybody a happy new year. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Oh, perfect. Thank you all for your wonderful shares and for allowing everybody to get on the line. I want to thank all those who gave service today. And I will now ask Robin P. to read A Vision for You.
Thank you. This is Robin P., Grateful Recovered Compulsive Reader. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Amen.